Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're getting into what might be the single most frustrating challenge for small and medium-sized business owners, the tech spend. You know, you have to innovate, you absolutely have to secure your data, and you've got to support a workforce that might be all over the place.
Right.
But then you look at the books and that monthly tech bill, it doesn't feel like an investment. It just feels like a runaway expense you can't get a handle on.
It feels like a black box.
Exactly. So our mission today is to crack open the source material and really pull out the playbook on how expert IT consulting helps companies not just control, but drastically reduce their spending.
And do it while actually improving things.
Yes, all while boosting performance, security, and making sure you can scale. We want to give you the blueprint for turning this, you know, this crisis into a real advantage.
And that framing is so important. The key insight from all the data is that the answer isn't just, you know, slashing budgets.
Which is what everyone tries to do first.
Of course. And it always leads to decay and, frankly, expensive failures down the road. The real path to savings is optimization. It's working smarter and fundamentally shifting IT from a cost center into a powerful strategic asset.
Okay, so let's unpack that, because that shift, it sounds great on paper, but where is the money actually leaking? We're diving first into what our sources are calling the hidden cost crisis.
Right.
There's this, I guess, dangerous misconception that handling IT internally, maybe with generalists or just patching things together with cheap vendors, is the best way to save money. Why is that so wrong?
Because it completely ignores the measurable waste that's baked into those systems. The research is, honestly, it's frighteningly consistent.
How consistent?
Businesses without a real strategic IT plan are wasting anywhere from 20 to 30% of their entire technology budget.
20 to 30%, that's a huge number.
It's massive. And that waste isn't on a single line item you can just circle. It's hidden in the redundancies, the processes, and the constant reactive chaos.
Wow. Imagine what you could do with that capital back. So what's creating this drain? Give us some of those concrete examples.
It starts with really basic things that just compound. You know, redundant software, infrastructure that was way too big from day one and never got looked at again.
And just putting out fires all day.
Right, exactly. Operating in crisis mode. Look at the local examples from the sources. We have a manufacturing company in Anaheim. They were running three completely separate communication platforms.
Three. For what?
One for email, another for internal chat, and a third for remote calls. Paying three different bills when one integrated solution could have done it all more efficiently for about half the cost.
Unbelievable.
Or think about the professional services firm in Costa Mesa. They kept paying for 50 specialized software licenses every month, even though 15 people had left the company or changed roles 6 months ago.
So they were just burning money.
Literally vanishing into thin air.
And this brings up a term we really need to define. Technological debt. You mentioned it. How does that debt build up? And, you know, how is it different from just normal costs?
Technological debt is the cost of all your short-term fixes and all the maintenance you put off. Think of it like a high-interest credit card.
Okay.
When you delay system updates, or you ignore security gaps, or use old software that doesn't talk to anything else, you aren't saving money. You're just racking up debt, and eventually that bill comes due.
In the form of a disaster.
A catastrophic system failure, a data breach, something that forces you into a huge, expensive overhaul you never budgeted for. So the real cost isn't the repair bill. It's the opportunity cost of all that capital tied up in just keeping inefficient, risky tech alive.
That really clarifies the stakes. So if we want to attack that 20 to 30% waste and get some cash flow back fast, where do the experts start?
Software license optimization.
The low-hanging fruit.
Absolutely. It's the fastest way to see a real tangible cost reduction. Let's use the most common example, Microsoft 365.
Right. Everyone uses it.
And when companies decide they need the best, they often just buy the premium E5 license for every single user. Now, E5 is fantastic, but it has features like advanced compliance tools or Power BI Pro that 80% of employees just don't need.
Or even know how to use.
They never touch them.
Yeah.
A strategic consultant looks at actual usage, and they find most people are perfectly fine with an E3 license or even business premium.
And the cost difference is big.
It's dramatic. For a 50-person company, sticking with the wrong licenses can easily mean $15,000 to $20,000 in wasted spending every year.
$15,000 to $20,000 just from picking the right license tier.
It's just about aligning the cost to the actual need instead of that blanket purchasing approach.
And that's where analyzing usage patterns, not just assumptions, really pays off. We see it in the data. A healthcare provider in Lake Forest, they cut their software spend by $34,000 annually just by fixing those redundancies. And even more, a retail business near Huntington Beach cut their software costs by 42%.
42%.
Yeah. And that involved right-sizing licenses and negotiating better terms. Now, this is where I get a little skeptical. As a small business, you don't have the leverage of a giant corporation. How does a consultant actually get negotiation power with, say, Microsoft? Are those deals really negotiable?
That's a fair question. And on your own? No, they feel like take-it-or-leave-it deals. But a consultant brings two things. First, aggregate purchasing power. They represent hundreds of clients.
Ah, strength in numbers.
Exactly. But more importantly, they have specialized up-to-the-minute knowledge of the pricing structures, the promotional cycles. They know the specific terms that get adjusted all the time.
I see.
They know the leverage points. That expertise is a shield and a hammer for the small business. A manufacturing company in Fullerton was struggling with their telecom bills. A consultant came in, benchmarked prices, and renegotiated everything.
And the result?
A 28% cost reduction. That didn't come from luck. It came from deep expertise, a field most business owners just don't have time for.
That's powerful. Specialized knowledge creating financial power. Okay, let's move from licensing to the backbone of the business, the infrastructure. There's this big debate, all cloud versus on-premises. Is it really one or the other?
No, absolutely not. That false choice leads to bad decisions and inflated costs. For almost every modern small or medium business, the smartest, most cost-effective approach is hybrid infrastructure.
Hybrid, so a mix of both.
Exactly. It means you strategically place workloads based on cost, performance, and compliance needs.
So you don't just throw everything in the cloud.
Right. The pure cloud model can get surprisingly expensive because of things like egress fees, the cost to move your data out, and premium storage. A hybrid model lets you keep sensitive, high-access data, like a customer database, on a fast local server.
Okay.
While you use the affordable scale of the cloud for things like backups and disaster recovery.
I see that logic.
We saw this with a legal firm in Santa Ana. They tried going all cloud. It was way too expensive, so they switched to a hybrid strategy. The result was a 35% reduction in their infrastructure costs.
35%.
And at the same time, they actually improved their disaster recovery, which for a law firm is, you know, critical.
It's customized placement, not just one size fits all. And this brings us to what might be the biggest cost difference of all. The shift from reactive IT to proactive IT. Explain that gap.
The reactive model is defined by chaos. It's crisis mode. When a server fails, you're paying a premium for emergency hardware, rush shipping, urgent tech hours.
And it's never in the budget.
Never. And that's not even counting the massive productivity loss from the downtime.
But doesn't being proactive mean a bigger upfront investment?
Yeah.
How do you sell that audit and planning cost to a business owner who's already watching every penny?
You sell it by showing them the cost of the crisis you're avoiding. Proactive IT is about anticipation. It means seeing that a piece of equipment is aging 6 months before it's going to fail. It's planning for capacity so your systems don't slow to a crawl during your busiest season. It's making changes during quiet periods, not at midnight after a crash.
And the financial impact is there.
It's undeniable. A construction management firm in Mission Viejo cut their annual emergency IT spending, that frantic premium cost spending, by 67%.
57.
Just by moving to a proactive strategy. You eliminate that crisis premium, and suddenly you have capital to invest, not just repair.
Right. That money for panicked repairs is now freed up for innovation.
Okay, we have to talk about the elephant in the room. How can you possibly cut costs in IT without compromising security? I mean, especially today.
That is the tightrope walk, yeah. And the key is consolidation, not reduction. A lot of small businesses, they try to be secure, so they create this patchwork. They buy one tool for antivirus, another for email filtering, a third for endpoint detection.
And none of them talk to each other.
Precisely. It creates complexity, huge management overhead, and crucial gaps between the tools.
So what's the better way? The strategic approach is to adopt integrated, unified security platforms. You consolidate those, say, six different tools into two comprehensive ones. This doesn't just cut the license cost. It makes management way simpler.
And it's actually more secure.
It is, because when your endpoint protection and your email security are actually communicating, your whole security posture improves. You get rid of the visibility gaps.
We saw a perfect example of that. An accounting firm in Brea, They cut their security spending by 31%.
Right.
While improving their security posture. They went from 6 tools down to 2 integrated platforms. It's a perfect case of efficiency leading to both savings and better protection.
Exactly. And that leads to the final, really important question. What's the ROI timeline? When do you actually see this money coming back?
Right. When do you cover the consulting costs and start banking those savings?
The good news is the immediate wins happen fast, usually within 30 to 60 days.
That quick?
Yeah. Those quick hits, the license optimization, things like that, they often generate enough savings to cover the initial consulting costs inside the first quarter.
Okay, but what about the long game?
The real goal is the long-term ROI. A professional services firm in Newport Beach calculated a 412% ROI in the first year.
Wow. How?
It was a mix of direct cost cuts, avoiding those emergency expenses, and a huge boost in productivity because their systems finally just worked. Another example, a medical device distributor in Irvine, they cut their total IT spending by $127,000 a year.
These numbers can totally change a company's trajectory. And just to clarify for our listeners, you made a point about internal staff versus external consultants. This isn't about firing your IT guy.
That is vital to understand.
Yeah.
No, your internal staff are your daily operators. They keep the lights on. They handle user issues. They are essential.
They're in the trenches.
Exactly. A consultant complements that team. They step back, provide objective analysis, bring in cross-industry expertise, and critically, that vendor leverage that an internal team just can't have. They provide the roadmap so the internal team can execute flawlessly.
So what we've learned is that this isn't a one-time thing. It's a continuous strategic discipline. The roadmap we've pulled out is assessment, then analysis, strategy, implementation, and then ongoing optimization. It's about building a perpetual cost management engine.
That's it.
The ultimate takeaway for you, our listener, seems to be that strategic IT consulting isn't about finding quick, painful cuts that make things worse. It's about building an IT cost optimization roadmap that permanently aligns your tech spending with your business goals. It turns that hidden crisis into a clear asset.
And that strategic approach is most powerful for businesses with, say, 10 to 500 employees. They have complex needs, but lack those huge enterprise-level resources. So here's a final thought for you to explore. If eliminating all this technological debt and waste creates the capacity for real growth, what key strategic initiatives could your organization fund with the capital you'd free up from a 20 to 30% reduction in wasted IT spending? Hiring, product development, market expansion, what becomes possible?